Who's excited for the Word of God today? You know, I'm this close to asking Jonathan to come up and preach. Do you see the finger pointing? And man, that's a future preacher there. Okay, turn to your neighbor and say, God is going to speak to you. He's got something just for you. Listen up to the word of the Lord. Okay, here we go. We're going to dive in. I'm just going to get situated here. Okay, so we are doing a James series, and I am so thankful I get to wrap us up with our James series. Who's gotten something out of this James series we've done the last month plus? So I began this series comparing James to a coach, if you remember that. You guys remember that? Good. I heard at least one person. Good. And he's not giving us heavy theology, a lot of information. He's like a coach saying, let's go, keep going, get on the field. Like a coach on the sideline saying, get on the court. That's James. We started in chapter one. I opened the series and we talked about how faith perseveres. Faith continues to look in the mirror of truth and does what it says, if you remember that. And then how many love Pastor Steve Backlund when Steve Backlund shared? Yeah, Steve Backlund. Chapter three, he reminded us that mature faith speaks wisely. And he challenged all of us to activate the rudder of life. What's the rudder of life? Tongue. Good, you guys are listening, you're tracking, I love it. And then on Father's Day, Pastor Lynn gave an amazing sermon on how to be a great dad. Who is challenged by that? He ended with James 4. Mature faith submits to God. Mature faith submits to God. If you humble yourself, surrender, and draw near to God, that's mature submission. Today, I want to summarize the book of James, and I'm going to be speaking on chapter 2. But before I do, who likes taking notes? Any note takers here? Is this like a thing of the past? Okay, good. We got half the congregation. That's great. If you want to remember the book of James, faith, mature faith, is the theme that runs from chapter 1 to chapter 5. Chapter 1 is mature faith perseveres. Turn to your neighbor and say, perseveres. Mature faith perseveres. Mature faith acts. We're going to be talking about that today. Turn to your neighbor and say, acts. Chapter 3, mature faith speaks wisely. Say, speak wisely to your neighbor. Chapter 4, mature faith submits to God. Turn to your neighbor and say, submits to God. Chapter 5, mature faith endures to the end. Turn to your neighbor and says, endures to the end. So if anyone were to ask you, friend, family, stranger, what's the book of James about? Chapter 1, mature faith perseveres. Chapter 2, mature faith. Chapter 3, mature faith speaks wisely. Chapter 4, mature faith submits to God. Chapter 5, mature faith. Good, you got the whole book of James. I think I should just close in prayer and we can just leave and have a great day, right? We're going to talk about chapter 2, and I really believe it's the heartbeat of the whole book. Chapter 2, he makes a statement that for 2,000 years has been challenging Christians. Faith without works is. Faith without works is. You all know it. And you're all challenged by it. That's what we're going to talk about today. Belief always moves. Trust always steps forward. Faith is never finished until it acts. Faith is never finished until it acts. So today I want to, with James and just some stories from life, I want to hopefully by the Spirit, just show what this means. So Jesus, I thank you for today. God, we thank you for powerful worship and just recounting your faithfulness. Lord, we're thankful that we can speak your name, the name Jesus, and things shift, things change. Lord, thank you for the baby dedication. Thank you for our children's camp. Thank you for all your faithfulness with people with storms and how the body of Christ came together and there was so much love shared. And Lord, I just pray, would you help me, Holy Spirit, to get out of the way and just be a conduit of your voice, a conduit of your Spirit. And I pray for every heart here that you're gonna give them exactly what they need. The nudge, the prompting, the encouragement, the exhortation from your heart, through your word, by your Spirit, to their heart. In Jesus' name, amen. You ready to dive in? Okay, here we go. A couple weeks ago, I'm at Albertsons. Any Albertsons shoppers here? I know you save money by driving. For me, I live in Caldwell, driving down the highway to go to Winco. I just love Albertsons. Customer service is great. Great produce, great meat section. So Raul and I had a couple really short list of groceries. You know, it's when you have five or six things and your goal is just to be in and out. Anyone been there? So Raul and I, he's my nine-year-old son. He went to kids camp. He was the one painting on this side of the screen. But we headed down, and right when we walk into Albertsons, we're probably 50 feet in the store. Both of us see a lady about 65 to our right who was weeping. And him and I kept walking, but right away, Raul, who's very watchful, he noticed, even though she's kind of off to the right, and we're walking down, I think, the ice cream aisle, and he says, "Dad, I wonder if she lost her kid in the store." And I said, "Well, that's possible, Raul, but I think it might be a wallet or some money. That's what I'm sensing." And we just got our six things, and we get into the aisle there at the Caldwell Albertsons, and all of a sudden, one of the managers starts doing stuff right behind me. There's no customer behind me. There's a customer in front of me, Raul and I right here, and she's rearranging the cash wrap. She's looking under it. She's shutting down that aisle, and I know pretty much most of the employees there, and I said, "What's going on?" She said, "A woman lost her money for groceries, and it's the last she has until she gets paid." And already when Raul and I saw her crying, we're both feeling for her. And now it's like, okay, this is the last money she had. And I just felt that prompting, if she can't find it, I would like to pay for it. Well, a little later, she comes walking in with her husband and she found it. It was outside in the parking lot. So praise God. So I'm like, praise God, it's all done. God took care of it. The manager tells her, this gentleman was willing to pay if you couldn't find it. And all of a sudden, she starts tearing up. She said, "It's been hard. I have cancer." You know, I technically at this point had fulfilled what I was going to do. I said I was going to pay if they couldn't find it. But how many know God is often not finished, even when we think we are? I couldn't shake the feeling that God wanted to do something else. So they began to walk to the customer service, and Raul and I followed them. I said, "Let's follow them." And I gently took the receipt out of the husband's hand, and I said, "I would like to pay for you." They hesitated a little bit. How many know it's hard to receive sometimes? And so I got to pay for the groceries, and she's just behind crying. We turned around and was able to share a few words of hope, give her a side hug, and then Raul and I are in the car. And I just want to say this was my favorite part of that whole thing. We're driving back the little 2 minutes to our house, and Raul goes, "Dad, if I ever become president, I don't want anyone to die because they can't afford to pay their medical bills." Yeah, we can clap to that. What was that? Come on, we got Jonathan the preacher, Raul for president. Let's just let the next generation do it. Come on. I think Raul would be a phenomenal president. He's very watchful, caring, protector. Yes, I'm just going to speak. He may just be the next or one of the presidents of the United States. Amen. You know, and I love those moments. They don't happen all the time, but I know if you're a father, you love. Sometimes you just feel like, man, what am I doing? And you feel like, am I doing the best job? You know, our kids are struggling, and we often put that on us. But this was a moment I was thankful for. And I realized it wasn't about groceries being bought. It's what faith looks like. We're also what faith looks like when it doesn't just stay as an emotion. Now, I want to say something before we move on. I don't share this because I want to express like I'm some super compassionate, generous person. My wife can vouch there are many moments I miss. There we go. That didn't take long. I don't even think I finished saying the phrase and she was already giggling. The wife speaks. But, you know, I've had moments when I'm too busy, I'm too distracted, I'm too focused on my schedule, my to-do, I've confessed this from the pulpit, my to-do list, every day I have a to-do list, even today when I was preaching, I'm like, okay, I gotta do that, boom, 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 boom. Or just too uncomfortable to act. Has anyone been there? So I'm still learning to catch these moments, and I feel like I'm not the only one. I think everyone knows what it's like. You see someone hurting, you feel the little nudge, and you wonder, should I say something? Should I help? Should I stop? The truth is sometimes we act, sometimes we don't. And that's exactly what James gets at today. So I want to jump in the scriptures. James 2, 14 through 17. We're going to start with this. What does it profit, my brethren? Remember, when he says my brethren, I feel like he's leaning in. There's both a call out and there's emotions. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, by faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Let me say that again. Faith by itself, if it has no works, he's not saying maybe dead, could be dead, sometimes is dead, sometimes not. Let me say it again. When faith is by itself and there isn't a work, it's dead. James is giving us an insight into the nature of faith. If I can be frank, as I was studying for this, it makes me feel uncomfortable. See, I don't think most of us in this room struggle to feel compassion or mercy. We struggle with the space between compassion and action. We struggle with the space between compassion and action. We've all had moments when God was nudging us and we thought, I should call them, I should apologize, I should give, I should serve. But somewhere between believing and doing, we stop. Why is there such a gap between what I believe, what we believe, and what we actually do? James saw this problem 2,000 years ago. It's nothing new. You can believe the right things. You can talk about faith. You can explain faith. But James asks us a disturbing question. What good is faith if it never moves? I want us to go on to verse 18 through 24. It got really quiet in that section. Don't worry, there's some good stories and good news coming. But again, before the word heals you and empowers you, it often cuts you. Before the double-edged sword lifts you up and encourages you, sometimes it needs to cut you. It cut me up this week when I was studying for this. Okay, verse 18 and following. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. They do. Demons know a lot of information. That's true. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works, faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. We sang about that this morning. Jesus is our friend. And then finally, verse 24. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. That, just that one verse has been the subject of theological debate on and off for 2,000 years because it seems to contradict everything Paul said. We'll get to there in just a moment. We're going to bridge James with Paul. But listen to James. He says, I have faith, or someone may say, I have faith, and James reply, he's the coach, show me. Not talk about it, explain it, agree with it, show me. And he uses Abraham as the example. Abraham, that great father of faith, was given the promise that he would have a son, him and Sarah, and through that son, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Are we tracking here? That promise was given in Genesis 15, and it says he believed and it was accounted to him as what? As righteousness, as a right standing, as God approving of his standing because of the faith to believe the word. But James says that wasn't completed or fulfilled until Isaac was born, and many years later, God tested that faith. God said, this is the promise. I want you to offer up now the promise that you believed in. He's here now as a sacrifice. I want you to go up a mountain and offer him up as a sacrifice. Abraham acted. James is saying when he acted, faith was finally completed. Is this connecting here? That was years later. Now, sometimes it can be, you know, God moves you in faith and you believe and he has you act right away. Sometimes that could be separated by decades until that is fulfilled. But you can bet on this. Faith isn't complete until it acts. That's what I believe James is saying. Let's read verse 22 again. If you want to highlight a verse in your Bible, I actually personally believe that this is Matthew. I'm not saying thus saith the Lord, anything like that. But I believe this is the most important verse in the whole book of James. Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works, faith was made perfect? I'm going to read it again. Do you see that faith was working together with his works, talking about Abraham, and by works, faith was made perfect? Ooh, highlight that one in your Bible. You have a highlighter, a pin. Perfect doesn't mean flawless. Turn to your neighbor and say, not flawless. Okay. Turn to your neighbor and say, mature, complete. Tell them, reaching the intended purpose. Okay. James is not saying works create faith. He's saying works complete faith. Works complete faith. If faith acts, it grows, it matures, it becomes complete, it is proven genuine, it changes lives. If faith doesn't act, stagnates, weakens, dead. Now, I can tell, I can feel. This is a hard word to hear. And it's like, are you preaching works, right? There is an important qualifier I'm going to call the Galatian qualifier. Turn to your neighbor and say, the Galatian qualifier. Let's read Galatians 5:6. Let's pull this up. Because has anyone wrestled with this? It seems like Paul is saying it's all by grace. We just need faith in Jesus alone. And then James is saying, you better do it. Has anyone wrestled with it? Raise your hand if you've wrestled with this. Yeah, a good portion. I've wrestled with it. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Faith working through love. James is giving us the outcome. Paul is giving us the engine. James is giving us the outcome of faith, the works, the completion of it. Paul is giving us the engine of all true faith. Love. Love. Love is the engine. It's what energizes faith. Not guilt, not religion, not performance, not look at me, not obligation. The faith of God is set in motion by the love of God. Paul and John emphasize love. James does talk about love, but it's not his emphasis. But when you put the two together, you have understanding. Is that helpful? That's been helpful for me when I've kind of gone to extremes, greasy grace, or no, I got to do all this stuff. It's like, wait a minute. I need the love of God, and only the love of God can set faith in motion. But once faith's in motion, it's going to be completed with an act. Make sense? I'm excited because this is powerful stuff. Okay. The last couple weeks, I knew I'd be preaching on James 2 a couple weeks ago. We decided I was going to close on that, and so I was just wrestling with this. And how many know, man, it's like if you go to teach or preach something in whatever context, God will test you on that word. I'm getting smiles throughout. It's like, God's like, oh, you're going to proclaim this truth in front of several hundred people on live stream? We're going to put this word to test with you, Matthew. So just this past week, this was Monday, something happened that really marked me and just set stuff in motion. Our Hispanic pastors, Manny and Crystal, I don't believe they're here today. How many love our Spanish church? Thankful for it. Yeah, let's give it up. They minister in the front office. I'm over here with Pastor Rich and over here, and I'm doing Valley stuff. They're doing Casa de Gloria stuff. They're praying for a woman in there. I was coming back from a lunch appointment. They sensed the Holy Spirit prompting them to ask me to come and pray and prophesy. They didn't have full clarity. They were hearing by faith and acting. I came in. I never met the woman. They interpreted, began speaking. I had nothing prepared. She got touched. And God provided words that were supernatural because none of us could know them. But I'll tell you, what impacted me most wasn't the prophetic gift. How many know prophetic words are easy for the Holy Spirit? What got me is that Manny and Crystal had the faith to hear, even though they could have said, Matthew's doing his thing. He has appointments today. We're over in this church. We're going to just do it. We'll minister. We're not going to bother him. But they got a word from the Lord, call Pastor Matthew. And I was so encouraged by that because their faith wasn't just heard, it acted. Amen? That happened on a Monday. Then the very next day, I was in a meeting with a young man here in the church that I disciple. And he's just, we hadn't been able to meet for like 3 weeks. And he's just opening up about God's doing this in my heart. God's doing this. We talked for about 45 minutes. It was 4:45 on Tuesday in the green room over here. And he's just sharing. And I'm just listening. And I'm just listening. And I'm like, man, God's doing so many things. He probably shared 10 different things. And remember the story of Manny and Crystal. I felt the Holy Spirit say, your wife just finished breakthrough. She was texting me. Have her come in. She comes in. She begins to prophesy. And it was our whole conversation was recounted. And I'm looking over at the man that I'm discipling. And we're going, Now, I don't want to, it's like Manny and Crystal's faith was set in motion. I don't normally do that where I pause in a discipleship and say, I got to get my wife to come on in. But how many know their faith that acted became contagious with me the next day? Tessa comes in and had the exact word she needed to hear. Glory to God. Only Jesus can do that. So the prophetic word, the healing miracles, we aren't to focus on that. We're to focus on Jesus. But how does Jesus act? He speaks to you. Faith is born, and he's waiting for us to make a move, even if we don't understand it. So don't hear miracles. Don't hear, okay, don't focus on that. That was the temptation in Jesus' day. Jesus, all around him, healings, miracles, and all that. And Jesus said, you're following me because of the miracles. And they're like, well, what is the work you'd have us to do? Believe. He says, I'm the bread of life. Stop focusing on that. Anyway. Okay, let's keep going here. Faith. So what did I learn from that? Faith becomes contagious. Manny and Crystal's faith became contagious. The next day, I was prepping, 2 days later, I'm prepping for the sermon in downtown Caldwell. I like just getting away from the office, getting away from the house. I'm at the Golden Palace, have my Bible, my journal, eating some Chinese food. How many love Chinese food? Oh, this is bad. I know. I was craving Chinese food. Yep. Okay. So I just finished eating, and keep in mind, for the previous few hours, I've been working on faith that acts. I put down my receipt. I didn't put down my receipt. The waitress put my receipt on the end of the table. And I look at the amount, and I'm just processing the amount. I'll be honest, it was a little higher than I thought it was going to be. And I do the books for the house, and I'm like, oh, that's a little splurgy. I had that thought. It was 2 seconds, that split thought. And it's gone. It's taken from me. And I just look up, and I barely see a woman speed walking down. And I'm like, where did my receipt go? It wasn't the lady who ran the store. It wasn't the waitress. It was a lady from this church. You know who you are. You know who you are. And I'm not going to call you out. Glory to God. The reward from the Lord. But she's a friend of mine, and we processed later, and she said, I saw you, and I needed to act quickly. I'm like, do you know what I've been, she didn't know. I'm like, do you know what I've been studying all morning for Sunday? We talked a little bit, and I'm walking out of the Chinese restaurant. Pastor Lynn and I were going to meet right by Indian Creek Steakhouse, just in between the two restaurants, just to chat for a little bit. But he was loving on someone and going a little long, so there was there's a bench, you know, right outside Indian Creek. And I'm just coming off of faith acting quickly. I sit down on a bench, and I've never had this happen in Caldwell or probably in my life. A woman just starts approaching, probably 30 years old. She's like, can I sit with you on the bench? And I'm like, yes. So she sits with me on the other side, but she begins pouring out her heart, and I just listen. And I won't repeat, but she had some very bad news shared with her that day. And she was really downcast. And then she said, and I'm just listening. I'm like, Lord, is this a God setup or a weird setup? I'll be honest, I was thinking that. I'm like, what is going on? But all of a sudden, she starts tearing up, and she goes, I'm a very spiritual person. And I just felt that nudge of the Holy Spirit. She just said she's spiritual. You can share why she sat down at that bench. And I just began to speak to her about Jesus Christ and how much he loved her. She started to weep, and she apologized. She says, I'm so sorry for crying. I haven't cried in a year. And the love of God touched her. But that's what faith does. The person, you know who you are, here at the church, who bought my lunch, acted quickly. She heard and she obeyed. So I'm walking out the store, about to go to Pastor Lynn. I sit on a bench. That faith became contagious in me. And then I was able to witness. I don't know, I'm going to be real, if I would have witnessed if I didn't just have my check paid. Does this make sense? Faith obeyed sets faith obeyed in someone else. And you don't know the miracles down the chain that God does. I believe one day when we're in glory, we'll be able to handle it then so it doesn't go to our head, but God's going to show us, you didn't know when you helped that one person, how it affected that person. That person, that person, and then they got delivered and saved. Yeah. Hallelujah. Let's give glory to God for that. Come on. Lord, help me. One act of obedience often becomes someone else's miracle. Do you guys remember from about 25 years ago, this went viral, the phrase, pay it forward? There was a book, there was a movie. I did not read the book. I don't believe I saw the movie, but everyone kept talking about, I'm going to pay it forward. It was a viral phrase, and what it meant was, specifically that phrase, just to jog your memory, it was a simple idea. Instead of paying someone back for a kindness, you pass that kindness on to someone else. Okay? I believe if James was here today, he would say, faith it forward. Not pay it forward, faith it forward. Faith it forward. Faith it forward. Don't just receive God's grace, pass it on. Don't just hear God's word, live it. Don't just believe what Jesus said, do what Jesus said. Faith will be finished once you act. Then it's in God's hands and he can do the miracle. Amen? Woo! I am sweating up here. Those lights are warm. Okay, where are we at? Lord, help me. We all doing good? Is this helpful? Is this encouraging? Good. Well, two nights ago, Pastor Lynn already talked about it. Many of us here were hit, well, all of us were here with a heavy storm, but how many basements again do we have here? Yeah, a whole bunch of basements. We have a basement, and like many of you, our family was affected, and we had about 2 to 3 inches fill our most of our basement, and there's 2 bedrooms down there. If you've ever walked into your house, walked into your basement, and you see that happen, Pastor Lynn kind of shared about this, and you feel that pit in your stomach, that's what I felt Friday night. And your mind, my wife's mind goes into problem-solving mode. I wish I could say mine does. I kind of freeze. Fight or flight. How many freeze when everything goes wrong like that physically? I do. I'm like just this, but I'm so thankful for my wife. She got in James mode. She got in sergeant mode. She's like, do this. Get the bucket. Parker, come in here. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, yes, ma'am. Yeah, hallelujah. I will admit, I know men are supposed to be problem solvers, but I'm like, oh, what's going on? Which way did he go, George? Remember that? Which way did he go? What is that from? Which way did he go, George? What? It's a cartoon. Okay. I digress. Let's get back on track, Matthew. Problem solve. But I ended up panicking, and I called a gentleman from our church, and he said right away, watch out for electricity. I would not have thought of electricity. Apparently, electricity and water are bad. You don't want to mix those two. So if you got, obviously, if you get anything from today, don't combine electricity while you're standing in water. That's a hack. That's a life hack right there. So, this is not how I thought the story would go. Right when I heard that, we go downstairs, and Tess and I were able to unplug some surge protectors, and one of them was thankfully, no one got electrocuted. You got a little zinger, but we're good. We're good. But I'm going to be honest, and I know many of you were probably there. I just heard another story when we were in the prayer room, but I felt overwhelmed. I was thinking about the damage, the cleanup, the cost, everything that comes next. And while I was standing there feeling devastated, I think Tessa put something on Facebook. I struggled with that devastation actually the whole night. I did the same thing Pastor Lynn was talking about. I looked at my insurance and I go, well, Riley flooded the bathroom years ago and they paid for all that cleanup. I'm sure we're good. Sorry. It's been years. You're good. You're mature now. You're beautiful. We had water going over the bath. You know, it was probably World War II in there. I don't know what she was doing, splashing around, but Farm Bureau covered the whole cost. And my brain goes, well, this is water. And like some of you maybe have found out on Friday, no, this is catastrophic. Unless you have flood insurance, this doesn't do anything. And so I felt that, I'll be honest, during the night, I felt that devastation. We got out a lot of the water out of the egress window and all that, and I'm just feeling it. But then Tessa posted something, and early that morning, it was probably 6 or 7, I didn't sleep that good that night, obviously, when your house is a bunch of water in it. I'm on the couch, and I feel that devastation. And just around that time, I found out 2 women in this church were praying in tongues for us. Can I tell you, right about the time they prayed, I felt like there was a shift in our house from devastation and panic to faith. I even heard in my heart the scripture, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of any kind, because the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Most of that night, my heart was not there. But someone by faith began to act. Something was changing. But before my circumstances could change, my faith needed to change. For some of you right now, you're going through hard circumstances. Maybe it's the water effects for Friday night or something else, cancer, something else. Before your circumstances change, sometimes, in fact, I think all the time, God wants to change our faith. But often he's doing it through the faith that others are acting upon. Another member of the church called me and they said, I have two extra industrial grade drying fans you can borrow. And they brought them by later, even though they had a very busy day with a birthday party. A little later, another friend called and said, I got a shop vac with a floor squeegee. I'll bring it over. They were getting ready for a vacation to Utah. Then family members showed up and said, we will run to Home Depot and get whatever you need, or on their way from their house. And then they even went back there, I believe, later. And all of a sudden, I noticed something. This wasn't just people helping, it was faith in motion. One act of faith led to another. One person obeyed, then another, then another. It was like watching a chain reaction. That's what mature faith does. It moves, it spreads, it multiplies. We're not just paying it forward, we're faithing it forward, and Jesus shows up and he does amazing things. Jesus. When someone is far from God, we faith it forward. When someone is sick, we faith it forward. When someone has financial needs, we faith it forward. Faith was never meant to stop with you and me. So James, in this chapter, he doesn't give us an idea. He ends with a question for all of us. What good is our faith if it never moves? He's not saying now, not, do you believe? Do you understand? Do you agree with this? But what actually changed because of it? According to James, faith was never meant to stay in our mind. It was meant to move in our life. I don't think these stories show necessarily extraordinary things people did. It's people who respond in the moment to a nudge, a prompting, a moment of compassion, a quiet awareness that said, don't ignore this, Matthew. And every time someone responded, something shifted. So I want to end with this question. Have you allowed the Spirit to move your faith lately? And again, please don't hear any condemnation. This is, the word is always an invitation for us, right? Because if you're hearing that, I just bind that up in Jesus' name. But he does come to invite us, just like Peter, come out of the boat. Well, unless you say the word. But there was a point Peter needed to get faith in motion. He does all the work. Our part is he gives us faith, we act, he shows up. He gets the glory. He does the miracle. He provides what's needed to provide. If it's a prophetic word, if it's a supernatural healing, if it's a financial miracle, God does that. But he's waiting on us. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come up here, but I do have a little more, but I'm going to ask them just to come up right here. I know it's a little early, but I don't want you to hear, try harder. I believe the challenge is to respond to what God is already stirring in you. Amen. It's not to feel pressure. It's not to manufacture something. But how do we respond? And so how is he nudging you today? Because I'll tell you, behind your next faith that's put in motion is an adventure with Jesus. Not, I checked it off. You said to do it, and I did it, and I did my duty. If you're hearing that, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what James is saying. But when we hear and we act in faith, motivated by love, there is no telling what Jesus can do. Not only for that immediate person, but like I experienced so much this week, it was their act of faith. It was the taking the check off you know, I didn't have to pay the bill. It was Manny and Crystal stopping what they're doing, inviting me in something that set faith in motion in me. And then others were touched even beyond that person who started that chain reaction. You know, I was pondering this morning, it's like, you know, we're in a revival, how many thankful we're in a revival culture here at Val? We believe in revival, right? Acts 2 is not history. God wants to do Acts 2 every day, every time we gather. But I think a lot of times, if you're like me, I think it's 50 people falling out. Now, I love it. I've seen 50 people fall out here, praise God. Or I've been to that conference when you just feel like heaven is falling down. But I felt like, I believe the Holy Spirit was speaking this morning to me, and he says, Matthew, revival is happening at Valley because people are laying down their life throughout this church. They are hearing something and they're obeying, and it's setting the life of God in motion here at Valley Church. Jesus is able to work just because people hear and they do. They hear and say, God, I don't understand it. I don't know if I have the money for it, but I'm just gonna act. And when we do that, he does it all. And then it sets this faith it forward in motion. And I believe today, for some of you, you're already running in this. I know, I've heard just reports throughout the church, even just someone who's going through physical issues in the church, and then I heard how multiple people in the body came to help this person, and I'm just like, there's so much love flowing through this church. There is so much generosity, so much love. Glory to Jesus. Can we give glory to Jesus? But if you feel stuck, all he's saying is do the next move. If you feel like your faith is dead, don't give way to condemnation. Jesus is inviting you. Just follow that nudge, the one nudge. Today, this week, what's the one nudge? Is it a ministry God's calling you to sign up for in the church? I was praying about this. Is it a baptism you've delayed? Is it generosity you've resisted? Is it a conversation you've avoided? Is it someone God wants you to go and encourage? Don't ignore the prompting that you have. And I believe, again, the Holy Spirit is saying, I want to invite you back in the movement. If you felt stagnant, I feel the Holy Spirit inviting, saying, get in the movement. Do the next thing I've called you to do, motivated by my love, and watch what I will do. Watch what miracles I will do. Watch how I'll use you to encourage someone else. And I'll tell you, that just ignites the fire within us. And so I want to just, not to the front here, but if you, again, not out of obligation, but if you feel like God's prompting you, even during the service, you know the next move. You don't need to tell anyone. This is between you and Jesus. But I feel like if that's you, would you stand? If you're like, I feel like there's something I need to do. There's someone God is prompting me to love on, to give to. Would you stand here today just as an act of faith? Not before me, but before the Lord. This is your first step, just standing. That's it. And it might be something I'm just looking around the room. I feel like it might be something really hard. It might be you need to go and ask for forgiveness. It might be God has been telling you to bless someone financially. It might be you befriending that very person who irritates you in this room. Come on. But on the backside of the hard thing, when that faith is acted upon, the Spirit of God, Jesus will show up and he'll begin a miracle. So for those standing right now, I just want to pray for you. Holy Spirit. So if you're standing, and for those who are sitting, you can pray silently for those that are standing. Jesus, I thank you for everyone who stood today. I sense your Spirit hovering over them. Father, I believe I hear you saying, you can do it, just step out. I know it's hard, just do that next thing and I will be the wind in your sails. I'll be the fire that provides what's needed. It's not your work to bring the miracle. It's not your work to bring the reconciliation. It's not your work to mend the relationship. It's my work. But would you just move? I'll do the rest. I'll do the rest. So Father, I bless everyone who stood. And Lord, I thank you that when they obey the thing you've told them to do, that you are gonna show up in such a powerful way. And Lord, as you've done in my life the last couple weeks, you've ignited a momentum to obey you and watch you be God. A momentum to just do what I don't understand, and then I see you as faithful. Lord, even as we sang today, great is thy faithfulness, Lord. You have been so faithful, and you have set in motion, Lord, something in my heart. And I just pray that right now over every person right now, that you would set in motion a fire to be a quick obeyer, just like that woman who took my receipt, Lord. May we be quick to obey and watch you be God. So Lord, right now, I just thank you. I feel your spirit right now. I pray from the top of their head to the soles of your feet, everyone who's standing now, that they begin to experience your manifest presence right now in the name of Jesus. That you're pleased even before they've done it, but you're gonna be so pleased when they do it and you're gonna work through it, Lord. That their faith will find completion when they act, and then you'll take over, Lord. So I pray for courage for every heart right now. I pray for courage to do that thing. And Lord, I thank you that from this day, there's gonna be testimonies of your goodness, Lord. Of things set in motion, relationships mended, people coming to Jesus and getting saved, finances provided for, the sick being healed in the hospital beds, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for neighbors coming to Christ. For people at grocery stores weeping and coming to Valley Church, coming to you in Jesus' name. Ooh. Ooh. And I hear one more thing to each person who's standing. I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And it says right before that, stir into flame, fan into flame the gift of God that is in you because of the laying on of hands. So Lord, I just thank you for fires ignited throughout this room, for faith it forward momentum in the spirit, Lord. That the one who stands, Lord, there will be a ripple effect like a stone thrown into a pond that will affect their family, affect their neighborhood, affect their work environment, affect everyone around them, Lord. And there'll be a chain of your spirit, a chain of your faithfulness, Lord, set in motion right now. So, Lord, I bless everyone here today, even those who did not stand, Lord. Everyone here, Lord, has a move to make. Everyone is blessed here, Lord. So Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you, by your love, birth faith in us. And then when we act, you do amazing things. So Lord, we wanna be faithful, but we need you. We can't be faithful in our own strength. We need you to be faithful. So Lord, we trust you today. We trust you this week that you will give us strength to be faithful. And we get to watch you be God. We love you, we love you, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. Who's glad they came to church today?